Tales from Bunny Mountain. Written by Talarna. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationships, Jinling, Jin Rulan, and Wei Ying, Wei Wuxian. Lanchen, Lan Wenji, Wei Ying, Wei Wuxian. Jinling, Jin Rulan, Lan Yuan, Lan Zuchui. Wei Wuxian wakes up in the Jingshu to the warm, quiet light of mid-morning. He stretches, yawns, and calls out into the familiar silence. Lan Chen? No answer. Wei Wuxian smiles to himself, imagining Lan Chen's tiny little frown at having his meditation interrupted, and slides his feet off the edge of the bed. Ji Xiong, he croons, one hand scrubbing through the morning tangle of his hair. They'd been up late. Well, Lan Chen had woken again when he'd crawled into bed after midnight, and how was anyone supposed to resist the noble second jade of Lan all soft and yearning? And Wei Wuxian feels slow and languid with rest, overflowing with a kind of joy that made people take up poetry. You let me sleep so long! You're going to spoil me, Lan Chen. I'll sleep all day and you'll have to come feed me in bed so I don't wither away. Huh? Wei Wuxian stumbles to a stop, having rounded the screen only to find his husband isn't there? No one's there, in fact. The Jingshu is empty. Well, almost empty. In shy silence, a small pink nose snuffles its way out from behind Lan Chen's black lacquered desk. The rest of the bunny follows close behind. It's wearing Lan Chen's ribbon. Wei Wuxian emerges from the bamboo forest to find cloud recesses in an exceedingly genteel form of absolute chaos. Land domestic staff scurry to and fro wearing expressions of harassed forbearance. Down in the rock garden, three kitchen boys appear to be chasing a large white rabbit with a tuft of black fur protruding from its chin. They are having very little success. Each time they draw near, the rabbit performs a single, dignified hop of impressive distance and evades their grasping hands. The sound of muffled shouting emerges from the juniors' dormitories, which, despite the shockingly late hour, do not appear to be disgorging any disciples. He pauses at the top of the stairs down into the central courtyard, one hand resting supportively on the front of his robes, and tips his head thoughtfully to one side. In fact, he cannot see a single white and blue-clad land disciple anywhere. Ah, Wei Gongzi, there you are. One of the servants, Chuo Jie, the auntie in charge of maintaining the residences, hurries towards him, eyes wide with relief. You caught our Gongzi. Thank you.
What?
Wei Wuxian shakes his head, as if perhaps that will clear out his hearing, and continues absently petting the warm bundle of fur tucked down the front of his robes. He'd worried the bunny might feel too confined, with cloth all around it, but instead it had just huddled in closer against his chest and closed its tiny eyes, its soft ears gently tickling the bottom of his chin.
Do you know where Lan Chen is, then? I couldn't find him anywhere.
He smiles, winsome, and leans forward in a way that would get him a crisp
"shameless"
from his husband, because Lan Chen has never appreciated the utility of flirting with older women when you need something to get done.
I don't like to think of him out there alone, you know.
He whispers, fingers tangling with the ribbon he'd been too sentimental to remove from around the bunny's ears.
Not after he spent so long that way.
Chu Jie's face softens.
No, please don't worry,
she says, wringing her hands.
Everything is fine, it's only that today is... that day.
She looks up at him, expectant.
That day,
Wei Wuxian repeats, because it seems to be what she's looking for. Chuo Jie lights up.
Just so,
she beckons to a passing attendant. Wei Wuxian thinks he recognizes him as one of the field workers from further down the mountain. He silently passes her a small woven basket from the pile he is carrying and scurries on.
Now, if you'll just hand me Lan Er Gongzi, we can have him nice and settled in with the others. Lin Mei Mei has her daughters out picking fresh grasses even now. At least it's spring for once, so he should be very happy for the day.
She clicks her tongue, thoughtful.
That time they shifted on New Year's? Wei Gongzi, you can't imagine trying to find 3 dozen wild rabbits in a snowbank. Half the kitchen staff had frostbite. We ate congee for a week. This does not particularly clarify matters. Excuse me, Ai, he interrupts, polite, because none of this seems to be her fault. But what exactly is that day? Where is Hong Wangjun? The rabbit in his robe shifts, its strong rear legs pushing down against his ribs, and Wei Wuxian resumes patting its soft back. White hair is getting everywhere, weaving itself into the black and red of his robes. But those robes have seen far worse, after all. It's a small price to pay to make the rabbit happy. The auntie freezes. Ah, she says, and swallows. That is to say... Her fingers tighten around the basket, and she goes on, despairingly. Has Lanar Gongzi not spoken to you? Of the Thousand Freedom Spirit Cleansing Array and its side effects? Ai, Wei Wuxian says gravely, still petting the rabbit. It is safe to say that he has not. His husband is a rabbit. Worse than that, all the land cultivators are rabbits. For the rest of the day, at minimum. Usually until moonrise. Chuo Jie had explained, reluctantly, after Wei Wuxian had finally believed her and, more to the point, stopped laughing long enough to ask questions. Sometimes longer if the uneasy energy has built up particularly strongly. Which, apparently, is impossible to determine, as the only people both capable of sufficient cultivation to make the relevant spiritual inquiries and in possession of the necessary land sect secrets to know how are, as previously mentioned, rabbits. Still somewhat stunned, Wei Wuxian reaches inside his robe and pulls out his alleged husband, lifting him up until they're nose to nose. The rabbit blinks open its little black eyes and stares back, paws hanging limply below his hands. Ah, Lan Chan, he says. Is that really you? Is Auntie playing a prank on me? The rabbit blinks. His ears shift, and the blue lens sect ribbon slides precariously to the left. Wei Wuxian, helpless, nudges it straight again with his thumb. Chuo Jie is looking increasingly uncomfortable. Please, Wei Gongzi, she says, shifting from one foot to the other. Just let me take him to the enclosures with the others. She's opened the basket. It's lined with straw, but there isn't much space, and it looks dark and cramped inside. Wei Wuxian clutches Lan Chen protectively. Why would I do that? He asks. Do you think I can't look after? With a clatter of footsteps, a gold-clad figure bursts out of the dormitories to the left, followed at speed by several extremely upset-looking Lan domestic staff. Wei Wuxian, unable to resist, settles Lan Chen bunny safely along his forearm and shouts in his deepest voice.
Running is prohibited in the cloud recesses!
He winks at Chuo Jie, whose expression of polite disbelief is a masterpiece, and whispers.
Eh, it's what Lan Chen would want to say.
She does not, quite, roll her eyes.
You!
His sometime nephew, the estimable sect leader of the peerless Lan Lin Jin, skids to a stop, his socked feet sliding on the polished wood of the walkway, mouth agape. He has a bunny under each arm. The one on the right seems to have its headband on backwards. It is chewing on the end of the ribbon, and presumably has been doing so for some time. The blue silk has been reduced to a soggy fray of threads.
Hey, good morning, Wei Wuxian says, beaming. So good to see you, Ding Zongchu. I'm not the only one left after all.
The boy flushes. Truly, he's even easier to rile than his princess of a father.
Don't call me that, the boy snaps. And why are there rabbits everywhere? Where's Sutre and Jingyi? What the hell did you do?
Wei Wuxian feels this is particularly unfair.
It wasn't me,
he objects, glancing wide-eyed at Chuo Jie.
It's almost never me! Hey, Ai, defend my honor!
She looks like she's developing a headache.
Please, Wei Gongzi.
Wei-Wuxian widens his eyes still further, increasing his pleading look.
Ah, Jingling is a good boy. He won't tell.
He whittles, stroking back his husband's silky ears. Her gaze flicks down to the rabbit, then back up.
He's basically family. If he ends up marrying Ian, you'll just have to tell him anyway.
Behind the auntie's back, Jingling's jaw goes slack.
Mary,
he mutters. But Wei Wuxian is too busy staring down Chou Jie to properly enjoy the young mistress's dismay.
Also, Wei Wuxian says, dropping the pout. If you don't explain at this point, I'm pretty sure I'm just gonna have to do it myself. Otherwise, he's gonna try to stop me again. And I promise Lan Chen to stop letting people do that, even if they are family, which I kind of think was an oddly specific promise for him to insist on. But Lan Chen, you know. He shrugs, and Chou Jie sighs in a way that he's pretty sure means she does know. And even thinking about it makes her feel tired. Still, she hesitates.
I don't know. He is a foreign sect leader. She spreads an open hand wide between them, as if to say, what can be done?
Well, yes, sure, technically. But also...
Jingliang!
Wei Wuxian snaps, and the boy jerks to attention like a puppet under Chen Qing's iron control. Wei Wuxian is not Jiangtang, but he has a little shame about making use of the boy's trained reaction to the man's habit of barking commands. If ever there was a boy in need of fewer uncles.
Do you swear not to use anything you learned today against the Gusu Lan?
The boy scoffs.
Obviously, he says, rolling his eyes. As if I'd do that.
Wei Wuxian raises an eyebrow at Chou Jie. With a sound like a leaf hitting the forest floor, she slumps, shoulders bowed.
Fine,
she says and hands her still empty basket to the first of the young men who've been chasing Jingling from the dormitories.
Follow me.
Whistling cheerfully to himself, Wei Wuxian obeys. There is a lot of shouting.
Ah,
Wei Wuxian whispers, leaning against a pillar in the secret chamber below the orchid room to which Chou Jie has reluctantly herded them. His lips pressed up against the fine fur covering the back of Lan Chen's delicate rabbit skull.
Is this how loud I was, Lan Chen, when we were kids? I'm sorry. You suffered so much.
The bunny's back feet thump in gentle fidgets against the crook of his elbow, as if in agreement. But honestly, was Wei Wuxian really this bad? Jingliang is such a loud kid. Nothing at all like Shi Jie or his stuck-up priest of a father. He has no idea where it comes from.
Okay, that's a lie.
From the way his eyebrows crinkle to the ineffective stamp of his sock-clad feet, the kid is like a mini Jiangtang from crown to toe.
So forceful, young mistress!
Wei Wuxian calls in encouragement, lifting his head just enough to make himself heard.
You tell them!
Jingling, thus distracted from bullying the poor land sect servants, whirls around like an ostentatious golden storm cloud.
Don't tell me you believe this bullshit!
He shouts, waving wildly at the neat expanse of bamboo enclosures all around, each carefully painted with the name of a land sect cultivator.
Jingliang, stop waving Ayuan around like that. You're scaring him,
Wei Wuxian says, as the neater of his nephew's two bunnies scrabbles frantically at the boy's sleeve.
As if this is weirder than that creepy Nie Sword tomb that nearly ate you anyway. Wouldn't you rather turn into a bunny than end up chained to an evil saber?
For a moment, Jingling looks genuinely torn.
The correct answer is, yes, thank you, Wei Xianbei. Bunnies are much cuter than sabers.
Wei Wuxian prompts cheerfully.
Don't be ridiculous, Jingling snaps. Why are you so calm about this?
Wei Wuxian shrugs and then pets Lan Chen back to calm when the motion makes the bunny squirm.
I mean, I've always said Lan restraint and self-control was unhealthy. Turns out I was right.
Honestly, the idea that all that repressed negative energy does have an outlet is something of a relief. Not that his Lan Chen needs it these days, given his other...
outlets.
But the rest of them? Even the juniors are so serious all the time. running around the countryside, saving people from fierce corpses, studying until they have ink stains between their eyebrows, and hardly ever getting into the kind of mischief Wei Wuxian remember at their age. It showed Lan Jingyi the best path to evade the night patrols months ago, and as far as he can tell, the junior still hasn't used it to smuggle in any wine. Alright, that's probably in part because he's been using it to sneak out to give flowers to a young maiden down in Caiyi instead. But even that's disgustingly tame and well-behaved by anybody's standards. The boy is really quite spectacularly bad at poetry. All of which is to say, it's probably a relief to be a bunny for a bit, Wei Wuxian goes on, bouncing forward to sling his free arm over Jingling's shoulders. Just think! Fresh air! Green grass! No Gusulan rules to follow! Freedom! Lan Chen, still securely cradling Wei Wuxian's right arm, begins to emit a low, unhappy rumbling noise, like pebbles scraping over one another in a landslide. Jingling, hands full of rabbits, yanks free with an annoyed jerk of his shoulders. Wei Wuxian chooses to take the lack of immediate incoherent sputtering insults as a sign that the boy is warming to him, and bestows a delighted grin, which only makes Jingling scowl harder.
Does it look like they're getting some stupid bunny paradise? He complains, jerking his chin at the surrounding cages. This is worse than going to lectures.
Wei Wuxian fakes a gasp.
Is Jingongzi complaining about lessons?
He asks, feigning shock, but his heart isn't really in it. Jingling may have a point. The secret chamber is dim and a little smoky, with an unfortunate musty animal scent to the air. The ceiling is low. There are, of course, no windows. The cages, while neat enough, are not particularly large. Of the ones he can see with name tags, roughly half are full. There is a young girl with grass stuck to the hem of her brown robe, portioning out handfuls of grains into what is apparently Langiran's cage even now, although the rabbit in question is mysteriously absent. In the cage next door, an elegant-looking bunny with black-tipped ears has curled up in the furthest dark corner of the enclosure, shivering.
Chuyi,
Wei Wuxian says slowly, watching Lan Xichen shake like a leaf.
Is this really all right?
She spreads her hands.
It's safest,
she says, looking a little uncertain.
This is what the sect has always done.
Always. The thought of Lan Chan being carried down here, year after year, and placed in a cage, alone in the dark, his family close enough to smell but too far to touch. By his side, Jingling makes a noise of protest. When Wei Wuxian glances back, the boy looks stricken.
But how are they meant to work off the resentful energy if they're locked up?
He protests, eyes wide.
Even Fairy needs time to play, and she's a fully trained spiritual dog. They're just bunnies. That's cruel.
The auntie's placid expression flickers.
Young masters, she says. I don't decide protocol, but it is my job to see that the sect's members are comfortable and looked after every day, and that includes this day. Please don't make this difficult.
Wei Wuxian laughs a little.
Aye, he didn't mean it like that,
he says, because Jingling is thoughtless, but he's not usually mean.
No one thinks you're cruel, but could it really hurt to let them see a little of the world while they're all carefree and fluffy?
It's not like there are foxes or eagles on the back mountain. Lan Chen's bunnies did just fine out in the wild.
But Chuo Jie is shaking her head, firm as a rock upon which the Lan sect's principles are carved. She beckons two of the attendants, who step forward.
Please, she says, sounding tired. Give us the rabbits. We will take good care of them.
Wei Wuxian places his left hand over Lan Chen's rumbling back as the young man approaches him, basket outstretched.
Sorry, Wei Gongzi,
the attendant mutters and reaches out. Lan Chen growls.
The boy flinches back.
Lin Qiang,
Chu Jie says, warningly, and the attendant steps forward once again, shoulders set in determination.
Maybe he shouldn't.
Wei Wuxian begins, feeling the way Lan Chen is tensing in his arms. But Wei Wuxian isn't Lin Qiang's master. The boy's loyalty should be commended, if not his facility with animals. Basket over his arm, he steps up close, hand outstretched, and three things happen in close succession. Lan Chen, powerful rear legs firmly planted in the crook of Wei Wuxian's arm, leaps. Lin Qiang, screaming, falls. The coppery scent of blood fills the air.
Demon rabbit!
The second attendant is yelling, wild-eyed and pointing.
Possessed! Cursed! Quiet! Quiet!
Chou Jie shouts, to little effect.
You'll scare the others!
And indeed, she's right. All around, the cages begin to shudder with the thumping and careening of several dozen distressed rabbits. Wei Wuxian lunges forward and grabs Lan Chen Bunny from the poor attendant's body, yanking the rabbit up to dangle at nose height. His little white snout is red from nose to chin. His tiny sharp teeth are dripping, as gory as any fierce corpse's claws. Lan Chen dangles, blinking slowly, his long feet going contentedly lax. He bumps his soft pink nose gently against Wei Wuxian's. He is, without doubt, completely, utterly, shamelessly unrepentant.
Oh my god!
Wei Wuxian whispers, transfixed.
Lan Chen! Han Guangbun! How are you this terrible a rabbit? Oh my god! What did these poor people ever do to deserve this? I'm dying here. How does no one know this? Is this a clan secret, Lan Chen? Weren't you here properly? I need to yell at you about this. I'm going to laugh so hard where you think I'm dying. Lan Argogo, why are you like this?
Shut up, you idiot. Stop flirting with a rabbit. How am I related to you?
Comes a quiet voice by his side, slipping under the ongoing yelling and attempts to quench the bleeding.
Jilian.
Come on, hurry up. We can't get out now while they're distracted.
Jilian?
Wei Wuxian exclaims, scandalized.
You are my favorite nephew. You have the best ideas. I could kiss you.
The boy flushes. Please don't. He mutters. He's clutching some number of baskets. 3, maybe 4. And they aren't small ones. From the flashes of fur through the loosely woven reeds, and the decided lack of rabbits in the cages marked for most of the junior disciples, it appears his nephew has managed to stage an extremely speedy rabbit jailbreak. Wei Wuxian is deeply impressed.
Jilian,
he says again, with feeling.
Hurry up!
The boy snaps, eyeing the milling Lansec domestic staff.
Yes, yes,
Wei Wuxian says, waving him off as he holds open the still loose flap of his overrobe for Lan Chen to burrow back inside. There's probably going to be blood on them, but who even cares about a little thing like that compared to the warm bundle of happy rabbit curled up next to his heart? He is going to have words with Lan Chen about this later. But first...
Ah, one thing, Aliang,
Wei Wuxian says, distracted, as they step quietly towards the exit.
Before we go, do you have space for one more?
Jilian gives him a look.
You think I'm putting that demon husband of yours in where he can bite my friends?
He asks, and Wei Wuxian clicks his tongue.
Cheeky, he mutters.
No, no, nothing like that, just... Acting fast, he pops the latch on the top of an enclosure and reaches down, wrapping his hand beneath the trembling belly of Lan Xichen's sad, lonely bunny form. Within his robes, Lan Xichen shifts, teeth beginning to grind, and Wei Wuxian hushes him gently.
Be nice,
he chides, settling Zhe Wujun carefully into the basket Jinling has opened with one last pat. The rabbit's black-tipped ears are almost as soft as Lan Xichen's.
That's your brother, you know. You wouldn't want to leave him here in the dark.
Lan Chen huffs, his rabbity breath warm against Wei Wuxian's underrobe, but doesn't lunge.
Close enough.
Meanwhile, Jinling is looking warily behind them.
Wei Qianbei,
he says, and from across the room they hear the now familiar tones of Chou Jie's voice raised above the rest. Wei Wuxian says, grabbing his nephew by the wrist, and makes for the nearest exit with considerable haste.
So sorry, Ayi. I really can't hear you. Such a mess, though. We'll be sure to keep out of your way.
And with that, they flee. It would have been more poetically satisfying, perhaps, to claim that they had fled into the night. But outside, the late spring sun is still shining warmly down on even the high mountains of Gusu. Wei Wuxian, familiar with all the best spots from his adolescence playing hooky from Lan Jiren's mercilessly dull lectures, leads them swiftly to one of his favorite meadows, up past the waterfalls and almost halfway around the mountain. Here, the bamboo has thinned back from rocky soil, and a tufted meadow of grass and wildflowers slopes gently down towards the edge of a bluff. Jinling has taken it upon himself to perch on a boulder, a serious look on his face, in order to supervise the rabble. He has already intervened in two bunny squabbles over particularly choice flowers to eat, and prevented Jingyi Bunny from falling down a hole. At present, Sutray Bunny is attempting to give him a dandelion.
Ah, Lan Chen,
Wei Wuxian says, sprawled out on the grass, his lightly blood-stained husband nibbling a thistle by his ear.
I guess our son is pretty certain about who he likes best, huh?
He's like you that way, hmm? Lan Chen snuffles wetly and drops a thistle on his nose. When Wei Wuxian is finished sputtering and wheezing and has dabbed away a few spots of blood from the thorns, he lays back down.
Lan Chen,
he whines, and then grunts as 2 pounds of bunny lands abruptly on his sternum.
Even as a rabbit, you're bullying me!
Lan Chen Bunny, serene in his rabbity righteousness, rubs his chin up against the bare V of Wei Wuxian's robes. It tickles. They lie like that, content, Wei Wuxian's fingers carding through the soft fur on Lan Chen's back, as the sun moves slowly across the sky. Clouds chase scudding clouds on the light spring winds, and Wei Wuxian narrates for his husband. Monsters chase young maidens, and young maidens chase monsters. A Xuan Wu is roundly defeated by a valiant bunny knight. Lotus flowers bloom on lakes fulfilled with whiskered carp, and dignified donkeys carry rogue cultivators across the heavens. Somewhere in the background, Wei Wuxian is conscious of Jingling's voice, alternately chiding and laughing at the rabbits, but he doesn't pay much attention until he hears his own name.
Wei Jianbei?
Jingling says, coming close enough to cast a shadow over Wei Wuxian's face. He shifts, and Wei Wuxian, squinting, sees that he has a bunny serenely perched on one shoulder.
Yes, Aliu?
Wei Wuxian says, warm and happy and just a little sleepy in the sun. He smiles up, shading his eyes, and magnanimously does not tease. Jingling's nose wrinkles, but he doesn't refute the name. His eyes are soft with worry.
Have you seen Zhe Wujun?
He blurts, and then bites his lip.
He looks so much like Xu Jie in that moment that Wei Wuxian forgets to breathe.
Gently, he shifts his hand to Lan Chen's spot and shoves.
Off you go, Gaga,
he says, and the bunny complies. With a groan, Wei Wuxian stands, brushing grass from the back of his robes.
Did you check the baskets?
He asks, stepping carefully. The junior rabbits have clearly decided that Jinling is their best chance at treats and are thronging around his feet like a particularly rowdy fog bank.
Of course,
Jinling says indignant.
And you're sure he's not?
Wei Wuxian gestures at the milling bunnies, none of whom appear to have black-tipped ears. Jinling's eyes narrow.
I've been watching,
he says, a little petulant.
He didn't want to play with the others, so I left him to nap. But when I went back to check on him, he was gone.
Wei Jianbei, you don't think something could have happened to him?
Wei Wuxian has been trying not to think that. But he hadn't been lying to Chu Jie. Han Gongjun had kept bunnies wild in the back hill since they'd all been students here so long ago, and they'd never once lost one to a predator.
You have so little faith in your oldest uncle.
Wei Wuxian teases mournfully, carefully skirting the other rabbits to gain a little height of the hill.
Do you really think Zhe Wujun couldn't fight off a fox, even in this state? Do you see how fierce Lan Chen was?
That's not the point. And anyway, how is Lan Xichun my uncle?
Jingling objects, crossing his arms and stomping his muddy foot in a not entirely un-rabbit-like manner. Wei Wuxian pauses, looking back, and nearly loses his composure entirely as Ai Yuan Bunny quietly sticks his twitching nose into Jingling's ear, causing the young mistress to flinch and nearly lose his balance.
Ah, Wei Wuxian says, and places his hand on the edge of the boulder Jingling had been using earlier, boosting himself up to sit on the sun-warmed rock.
Well, he is my brother by marriage, and I am your uncle. I think that's pretty clear-cut, don't you?
Wei Wuxian lets his feet dangle, bracing his hands on his knees as he leans forward to get a better view across the meadow. Down below, Lan Chen huffs out his annoyance at the distance between them and begins to circle, stamping down the tall grass and ripping up clover by the mouthful. Jingling has, after a moment of teenage flailing, managed to wrestle Su Chui into a more secure position against his chest, where the rabbit is leaning upward to nose curiously at his hair ornament.
Don't be ridiculous, he says,
head tipped back to glare more effectively.
He's my uncle's exact brother's husband's brother at best. Ouch,
Wei Wuxian says cheerfully, kicking up his feet.
Zewu bun, where would a scared, lonely bunny hide himself in such a pleasant meadow as this?
Don't forget that this body is technically half-brother to your father, too,
he goes on, scanning the further reaches of the field for motion.
I'm a double uncle. Uncle squared. Surely that's enough avuncular power to deputize a little.
Jingling is turning purple.
I don't need another uncle,
he says, desperation sending his voice into a register the boy is several years too old for.
I just need not to have accidentally murdered the noble head of Gusulan while he's in mourning for my actual uncle, who was secretly evil my whole life, okay? Is that too much to ask? Isn't it enough that I have to run a whole sect full of idiots who still treat me like a child while everyone else in the world looks at us like we're poison? And now I lost the bunny?
Oh dear.
Jingling, Wei Wuxian says softly, dropping down off the boulder into the grass. Lan Chen nudges briefly against his ankle, before rearing up on his hind legs to peer out across the meadow as if dutifully picking up Wei Wuxian's abandoned search.
Shut up!
His nephew croaks, turning away, but not before Wei Wuxian catches a glimpse of the boy's suspiciously bright eyes. Wei Wuxian hesitates, hand outstretched, but at the end of the day, he is who he is. A servant's son with too much affection and too little respect for the boundaries of propriety. He places his hand on his nephew's shoulder. Jingling tenses, but doesn't shrug it off.
It's okay, Wei Wuxian says, feeling distinctly unqualified to be giving this talk.
Hey, come on. You don't need to worry so much, young mistress. We'll find Lan Xichun when everyone turns back, if not before. As for the rest...
Small risk, small gain, right?
He steps in closer and slings his arm around the shorter boy's shoulders, shaking him lightly.
You need to learn to ask for help, Ba Ling. You don't have to fix your sect's reputation all by yourself, you know.
Jingling laughs, wetly.
As if you'd know anything about fixing reputations,
he says. Or asking for help, for that matter.
Eh,
Wei Wuxian says, philosophical. Isn't that the point of having seniors? You get to watch us make all the stupid mistakes first, so you can make different ones.
Jingling pulls a face and wipes quickly at his cheeks with a sleeve.
Wei Wuxian politely redirects his gaze, searching the grass around his feet for his lolloping husband, who is halfway across the meadow and still moving. Wei Wuxian says, with one last solemn pat of his nephew's shoulder.
Lan Chen? Where are you going, Lanar Gaga?
He appears to have initiated a slow-motion bunny exodus. The Lan Juniors follow the great Han Guangjun like a flock of ducklings at the best of times, and clearly their baffled bunny instincts know no better.
Jing Yi,
Jingling says, clearing his throat.
Where are they going?
He demands, as if Wei Wuxian has a clue.
You know the answer to that, Jingling.
Wei Wuxian says, breaking into a jog.
Where the chaos is!
Rabbits move fast when they want to, He only just manages to keep the flashing white tails of the juniors in sight as they hop up a short incline and through a screen of wild bamboo. Wei Wuxian, considerably broader than a bunny, swears briefly and turns sideways, forcing his way through the sharp-edged leaves.
If they've run off into the forest...
They haven't. More crashing and muttered curses come from behind, and Wei Wuxian holds up a hand, sharp as if casting an ray. Jinglin subsides.
What?
He says quietly, and Wei Wuxian hushes the boy, dropping to a crouch.
Ah, Lan Xichen,
he says softly, taking in the scene.
I guess the twin jades really do know each other best, huh?
Because Lan Chen has found his brother, even though, from the look of things, his brother did not want to be found. Huddled into the undergrowth of the bamboo forest, Zhu Jun's back paws scrabble at the fallen leaves and dirt like he's trying to dig his way backwards into the hillside. The rabbit's sacred headband is dirty and askew. His dark eyes dart from side to side, and his flank is shaking with two short panicked breaths. Lan Chen edges closer, nudging aside the ferns. Zhu Jun's ear flatten even further against his back, but he doesn't move, pressed close against the ground. Quivering, he lets Lan Chen reach out, until the two bunnies sit nose to nose. Even as a rabbit, Lan Chen's patience is impressive. For long enough that Wei Wuxian's calves start to ache, the bunnies sit like that, Lan Xichun bunnies breathing slowly easing, his ears twitching upwards, until eventually, he nudges forward just enough to bump his head up against his brother. By Wei Wuxian's side, Jinglin lets out a breath.
That's good, right?
He whispers as Lan Chen bunny begins a thorough tongue bath of his brother's ribbon, and the Lan juniors begin to hop cautiously nearer.
We're bunnies. Yes, Aling,
Wei Wuxian whispers back, unashamed of the sappy look he has no doubt he's sporting.
Affection is good.
Shut up,
Jinglin whispers and shoves him almost gently with an elbow.
And stop calling me that. Never.
Wei Wuxian says, cheerful, as a disgruntled Ai Yuan squirms free of Jinling's arms and hops forward to join the wriggling pile of bunnies doing their absolute best to lift the pall which has clung to their beloved Zhu Wujun for the better part of a year.
Promised your mother I'd look out for you after all. Promised to Shi Jie isn't something I'd break.
Surely even the tempestuous Jing Zongchu has no way to object to that. Jinling says, sounding choked once again.
Fine, I guess. You don't do it in public.
A pause, as they both stare manfully at the rabbit-filled patch of forest, where Su Cui has taken it upon himself to carefully straighten Jing Yi's disheveled ears. In the center of the pack, surrounded by clan, Nan Xichun has begun to tentatively groom his brother back. And then Jinglin, never want to go down without a fight, continues.
Wei Zhu.
Wei Wuxian's throat closes. In self-defense, eyes blurring, he tackles his nephew to the ground.
The end.